It will be a moment of great human transformation, and you have a chance to play a role in that moment. I want you to consider it very carefully. Wealth is commonplace, but wisdom is rare. He motioned to the portfolio, and then to the pyramid. I beg you to remember that wealth without wisdom can often end in disaster. Zachary looked like he thought his father was insane. Whatever you say, Dad, but there's no way I'm giving up my inheritance for this. He gestured to the pyramid. Peter folded his hands before him. If you choose to accept the responsibility, I will hold your money and the pyramid for you until you have successfully completed your education within the Masons. This will take years, but you will emerge with the maturity to receive both your money and this pyramid, wealth and wisdom. A potent combination. Zachary shot up. Jesus, Dad, you don't give up, do you? Can't you see that I don't give a damn about the Masons or stone pyramids and ancient mysteries? He reached down and scooped up the black portfolio, waving it in front of his father's face. This is my birthright, the same birthright of the Solomons who came before me. I can't believe you try to trick me out of my inheritance with lame stories about ancient treasure maps. He tucked the portfolio under his arm and marched past Bellamy to the study's patio door. Zachary, wait! His father rushed after him as Zachary stalked out into the night. Whatever you do, you can never speak of the pyramid you have seen. Peter Solomon's voice cracked. Not to anyone, ever! But Zachary ignored him, disappearing into the night. Peter Solomon's gray eyes were filled with pain as he returned to his desk and sat heavily in his leather chair. After a long silence, he looked up at Bellamy and forced a sad smile. That went well. Bellamy sighed, sharing in Solomon's pain. Peter, I don't mean to sound insensitive, but do you trust him? Solomon stared blankly into space. I mean, Bellamy pressed, not to say anything about the pyramid. Solomon's face was blank. I really don't know what to say, Warren. I'm not sure I even know him anymore. Bellamy rose and walked slowly back and forth before the large desk. Peter, you have followed your family duty, but now, considering what just happened, I think we need to take precautions. I should return the capstone to you so you can find a new home for it. Someone else should watch over it. Why? Solomon asked. If Zachary tells anyone about the pyramid and mentions my being present tonight, he knows nothing of the capstone, and he's too immature to know the pyramid has any significance. We don't need a new home for it. I'll keep the pyramid in my vault, and you will keep the capstone wherever you keep it, as we always have. It was 6 years later, on Christmas Day, with the family still healing from Zachary's death, that the enormous man claiming to have killed him in prison broke into the Solomon estate. The intruder had come for the pyramid, but he had taken with him only Isabel Solomon's life. Days later, Peter summoned Bellamy to his office. He locked the door and took the pyramid out of his vault, setting it on the desk between them. I should have listened to you. Bellamy knew Peter was racked with guilt over this.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Solomon drew a tired breath. Did you bring the capstone? Bellamy pulled a small cube-shaped package from his pocket. The faded brown paper was tied with twine and bore a wax seal of Solomon's ring. Bellamy laid the package on the desk, knowing the two halves of the Masonic pyramid were closer together tonight than they should be.
Find someone else to watch this. Don't tell me who it is.
Solomon nodded.
And I know where you can hide the pyramid, Bellamy said.
He told Solomon about the Capitol building's sub-basement.
There's no place in Washington more secure.
Bellamy recalled Solomon liking the idea right away, because it felt symbolically apt to hide the pyramid in the symbolic heart of our nation. Typical Solomon, Bellamy had thought. The idealist, even in a crisis. Now, 10 years later, as Bellamy was being shoved blindly through the Library of Congress, he knew the crisis tonight was far from over. He also now knew whom Solomon had chosen to guard the capstone, and he prayed to God that Robert Langdon was up to the job. Chapter 62. I'm under Second Street. Langdon's eyes remained tightly shut as the conveyor rumbled through the darkness toward the Adams building. He did his best not to picture the tons of earth overhead and the narrow tube through which he was now traveling. He could hear Catherine breathing several yards ahead of him, but so far, she had not uttered a word. She's in shock. Langdon was not looking forward to telling her about her brother's severed hand. You have to, Robert. She needs to know. Catherine? Langdon finally said, without opening his eyes. Are you okay? A tremulous, disembodied voice replied somewhere up ahead.
Robert, the pyramid you're carrying, it's Peter's, isn't it?
Yes, Langdon replied. A long silence followed.
I think that pyramid is why my mother was murdered.
Langdon was well aware that Isabel Solomon had been murdered 10 years ago, but he didn't know the details, and Peter had never mentioned anything about a pyramid. What are you talking about? Catherine's voice filled with emotion as she recounted the harrowing events of that night, how the tattooed man had broken into their estate.
It was a long time ago, but I'll never forget that he demanded a pyramid. He said he heard about the pyramid in prison from my nephew Zachary, right before he killed him.
Langdon listened in amazement. The tragedy within the Solomon family was almost beyond belief. Catherine continued, telling Langdon that she had always believed the intruder was killed that night. That is, until this same man had resurfaced today, posing as Peter's psychiatrist and luring Catherine to his home.
He knew private things about my brother, my mother's death, and even my work, she said anxiously. Things he could only have learned from my brother. And so I trusted him. And that's how he got inside the Smithsonian Museum Support Center.
Catherine took a deep breath and told Langdon she was nearly certain the man had destroyed her lab tonight. Langdon listened in utter shock. For several moments, the two of them lay together in silence on the moving conveyor. Langdon knew he had an obligation to share with Catherine the rest of tonight's terrible news. He began slowly, and as gently as he possibly could, he told her how her brother had entrusted him with a small package years earlier, how Langdon had been tricked into bringing this package to Washington tonight, and finally, about her brother's hand having been found in the rotunda of the Capitol building. Catherine's reaction was deafening silence. Langdon could tell she was reeling, and he wished he could reach out and comfort her, but lying end to end in the narrow blackness made it